Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, understanding the prophecies of the end time, and how to get our lives square with God. One of the things that's important for us to understand as we look and see disaster coming upon disaster in the world, which they're going to increase. A lot of it is because of the leaders. A lot of it is because of the people. Now, someone's going to say, boy, God's judgments are pretty harsh, and a lot of people are killed, and everything is upside down. Well, that's exactly true. But God doesn't delight in that. We need to realize that. Let's come back here to Ezekiel 33. And let's see what God told Ezekiel when he had to bring some of the absolute worst, most horrible, horrendous prophecies against Israel and Judah. How long and how patient was God with the world before the flood? He put up with it for 1,500 years. Look at any nation when it's caught up in the middle of sin. How long is God long-suffering with it? He is. But you see, there's a perversity in human nature, which is this, individually and collectively. And that is, people expect, even when they do the wrong things, to receive the blessings of God. Just like when criminals are caught after horrible crimes, what do they say? Don't shoot, don't shoot. They don't expect retribution. Now, there are times when warnings need to come. And there are times when examples of disasters like happened in Japan, like happened in the floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes in different places. Someone asked the question, I wonder if God's trying to tell us something. I believe he is. And even some of those on CNN said, well, maybe we better pray. Well, maybe you better do a whole lot more than pray. See, God said that when trouble comes, we better warn the people. Because if we don't warn them beforehand, then those who are supposed to do the warning are going to be held responsible, regardless if they are religious prophets or not. Take a look, for example, concerning the debt in America, the debt in Europe, and really the debt in the whole world. Few men in Congress want to cut and say a disaster lies ahead. We have a president who doesn't even know how to run anything except play basketball and try and play golf while the world is burning. Can't even see that they need to cut minimum $1.5 trillion. So what happens? They've had the warnings. We've had warnings concerning drugs for how long? We've had warnings concerning the southern border for how long? We've had warnings that our churches are not teaching the truth. We've had warnings that our schools have gone to hell in a handbasket. And no one is interested in truth, and no one is interested in the good for the people. No, no. Teachers' unions say, we are here because we have members who pay us hundreds of millions of dollars. We're not interested in the welfare of the children. We're not interested in the education of the children. But we are interested in power. And they send us the hundreds of millions of dollars. And what are they exerting with that power? Evil, wretchedness, destruction, removal of God from schools. Oh, but that's not politically correct to do so. Oh, we must have unions even though they destroy us. See, people become blinded. People become used to evil. And they don't think the judgment of God is coming. Well, I'm here to tell you the judgment of God is coming. And it's going to come instantly. Just like it did in Japan. With the earthquake. Everything was going along fine. It was a normal day. Then all of a sudden, 9.0 earthquake, tsunami waves, and it's going to end up that there are going to be tens of thousands killed. Now, there are times when even the best in warning doesn't work. Now, I want you to notice something concerning the prophets. They never prophesied out of their own hearts and their own imaginations, like too many preachers do today. They claim the word of God, but they don't live by it. They hold the Bible in their hands, but they don't believe it. God is going to judge them. We have rulers who are corrupt and will not do what is right. We have people living in sin who will not change their ways. Oh, God will change them. You're going to change your way in a big hurry when a disaster strikes. Look at how it changed the lives of how many millions of people in Japan. Affluent, cars, homes, bang! All of a sudden, poverty, scarcity of food, destruction and disaster, dead bodies everywhere. Atomic explosions ready to take place. Don't think that can't happen in America because we have 105 nuclear electric generation plants in America. Look at the floods we've had. Look at the tornadoes we've had. Look at the wars we've been involved in. Look at what happened on 9/11. See, you need to think. You need to understand that there is a proverb which says, the curse does not come without cause. And remember, it is God who says, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will curse you. Where do you think we are on that scale? God warns the sword is coming. And I want you to understand that no prophet of God at any time spoke from his own heart. Notice Ezekiel 33 and verse 1, and word of the Lord came to me saying, Ezekiel only spoke what God told him to speak. And yet the learned and the great and all of the theologians say, well, these are opinions of men. Really? You read it. Did it happen? Yes, it did. So let me read you something. Here's a principle that's going to take place. Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him up for their watchman. We have that today, don't we? It's called homeland security. If when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the ram's horn and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the ram's horn and does not take warning, if the sword does come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. There are a lot of people in Washington, D.C., sitting right there with the blood of a lot of Americans on their hands, right? How many times do you have to be warned? How many times do you have to be told? God in heaven is in charge, and the curse does not come without a cause. And how does the curse make you feel? Oppressed, beaten down, poor, afraid, land filled with crime. Let's go on. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the ram's horn, and the people are not warned, if the sword comes and takes any person among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, because you see, the sword comes from God. But I will require his blood at the watchman's hand. Now, when I read that, what am I supposed to do in teaching and preaching the Bible? Am I supposed to be politically incorrect and preach the truth? But too many people can't take that. Most people would rather have you preach good things. Now, good things don't come until you overcome the evil things. There's a lot of evil coming down the road. And it's going to be of such that it's going to be impossible for a lot of people to grasp. Oh, no, people would rather have control over the media so we don't hear these nasty, evil things. But We can condemn you. We can send thugs to riot against you. We can send teams of union people to stand in front of your house and scare your children. Oh, but you can't speak the truth. Then he says to Ezekiel, he says, Son of man, I have set you as a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. So the word of God you need to take personally. The word of God needs to apply to everyone, from the leaders clear on down to the least. Because when disaster comes, it affects everyone. When I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand. But if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, speak to the house of Israel. Thus shall you speak. Well, God asked the question. Here we are in the middle of a great sinful nation. And it's mounting up and mounting up and mounting up. Just like Jesus said, that in the last days, lawlessness shall be multiplied, and the love of many shall grow cold. And that's what we're seeing with all the crime and all the transgressions going on. Thus shall you speak, saying, when our transgressions and our sins are on us, and we are wasting away in them, how then shall we live? Because it's coming. How are you going to avoid it? God gives a solution. Verse 11, say to them, as I live, now God lived forever. He is eternal. And when he swears by himself, you can be absolutely sure that he is going to fulfill his word to the nth degree, not some little snippets of a fulfillment that someone has to get a magnifying glass to see the fulfillment of it. No. It says, as I live, I have no delight in the death of the wicked. What are your sins? You examined your life and compared them to the Ten Commandments? Compared them to the words of Christ? What have you done about it? God says, I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except that the wicked turn from his way and live. Will you turn from your way? Will this nation turn from its way? Will there be enough people in America and Britain and Western Europe to turn away the hand of the correction of God upon us? Or are we going to come to a point that suddenly going to come upon us like that 9.0 earthquake in Japan? And how are we going to react? What are we going to do? Because, see, remember this. Every house of cards comes tumbling down. Everything built on lies and deceit will fall. No way around it. That's how God judges it. So God reaches down into the lives of individuals. He says, repent. He says, turn to me. Do you want to die? Do you want to go through hell on earth in your life? Or are you already going through it because you've turned your back on God? And are we all also going through it because of the leaders who run the nation? Well, look at it. This is going to be some politically incorrect video cast on Church at Home. And some people are going to say, well, why don't you preach the love of God? Listen, you can't preach the love of God until there's repentance. Let's go on. He says, turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Think about that in your life. You know, every recovering alcoholic or recovering drug addict or recovering sex addicted person or recovering thief or recovering idolater, or recovering from false religion, or recovering from serving the wrong gods. There has to come a point in your life that you recognize you have been sinning. And there has to come a point in your life that you come to God on your knees and pour your heart out unto Him and honestly confess your sins to Him. Because everyone in rehabilitating counseling knows that until the one who has grievously messed up his life by sinning, they don't call it sinning. They call it an illness. Well, it's not. It's choice. And it's sin. But until that person comes to him or herself and says, I am going to stop. So they come to that point. Some people, rehab doesn't do a thing for them. Some people, rehab does a little for them. Some people, rehab does a lot for them. But let me tell you one thing for sure. For all people, sincere and deep repentance toward God will help you 100%. But that's only the first step. And remember, you've got to go beyond the first step and the second step and the third step. Let's read on. Therefore, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Isn't that true? How many of you seen upstanding people and all of a sudden they got caught in adultery, got caught in drugs, got caught in homosexuality? Look at the rich and famous and what they go through. Look what happened to the greatest golf player in the world when he finally got caught and his life was exposed to the world. He can't even qualify to make the cut in many golf tournaments anymore, right? Why? Because of sin. Now, that's just an example of one life. Oh, well, why would you bring up that person? Well, because everybody knows about it. It's a public thing. But how about all of the private things that no one else knows about but you? So what are you going to do with those? As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it in the day he turns from his wickedness. That's repentance. You can recover. The nation can recover. But it's going to take a massive and absolutely tremendous change and repentance through every level of government, every level of society. And we can't be going along with all of these religious lies and stupidity and nonsense that you hear spouted from the pulpit and spouted from the halls of government that we're good people. If we are, why are we in such trouble? So we all need to repent. Now notice, nor shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. So if you think you're leading a good life, watch out, don't sin. Watch out, don't give into that temptation to steal or lie or commit adultery. Watch out that you don't get caught up in false religions and wrong interpretations of the Bible. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Now God says that's how he operates. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want to see people die. But if that's their choice, and it is a choice, and God has set before us the choices of life and good and death and evil. God wants us to choose life and love Him. You see, God is merciful and kind and not executing His judgment and holding back and deferring. Because there are some few people out there truly seeking God, truly living God's way. And the whole society benefits from it. But there comes a time when God judges the nations as we have seen. And there comes a time that if we don't turn from our wickedness God's judgment is going to come, and his hand will not be turned back. Verse 14, again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restores back the pledge, if he gives back again what he had robbed, walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, then he shall surely live, he shall not die. Now that's a bargain, isn't it? If you turn around and you stop, and you commit yourself to God, and you repent, and you don't get back involved in it again, God says he'll forgive. Blot it out. Notice what he says here. Verse 16, none of his sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. If he does that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Not something? That's the way God deals. Even in the times of utter disaster around on every side. Let's go on. Okay. Let's start with the leaders of the land. That's what has to be first. There has to be some change. There has to be some repentance. There has to be seeking judgment and justice and righteousness. And there has to be some repentance with an awful lot of judges who hold sinful ways as righteous, and have called evil good and good evil, and they have caused the land to sin. Many have been led into sin, but God and his word can lead you out of it. That's what God wants us to do. That's for every human being. God is not picking on certain people to be unjust against them. Even the whole nation of Assyria and the capital city of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. When God sent the message with Jonah, he says, I'm going to destroy this whole nation and city. And what did they do? They repented, they fasted. And even the king made a proclamation, everyone is going to fast, and even all the animals. And what happened? God turned back his hand of correction. And it didn't come until 120 years later. So who knows? If there are a good number of people change and turn to God and do what is right, then God says he'll honor that. God says he'll forgive your sins. But like Jesus said, once they're forgiven, go and sin no more. So we're living in desperate and terrible times, and there's a lot of blame to be spread around to an awful lot of people. And so we can't just blame the leaders. We can't just blame the masses. We can't just blame the ministers or the teachers. They all get the blame from top to bottom, head to toe, top down, bottom up, inside out. God knows. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and I hope that you really take to heart these messages in time of trouble and difficulties that we're in and turn to God. So be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and there we have hundreds of sermons. Love of God, truth of God, faith of God, prophecies for today, and you can really learn of the Word of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.